Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it wasn't enough for Lauren Boebert to say the Taliban's building back better, which is, I got to tell you, one of the most disgraceful things. It's even too low for her. And I don't think there's a bottom with how low that she'll go. I think that one's even lower. But interestingly enough, federal officials are looking at Boebert for apparently using campaign funds for personal use. And my first thought was, you know, I don't know if they're using campaign funds for personal stuff. They're too busy doing insider trading stuff. That campaign stuff, just a little, that's just nothing. It's all that insider trading and lining their pockets elsewhere. But it'll be interesting to see if she was dumb enough to take campaign funds and use it for her own personal whatever. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on where we are, what's going on, and maybe how this whole situation in Afghanistan plays out over the next couple of months. I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also the host of the fabulous Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm not great, but I'm okay. You know, I'm looking at what's going on in Afghanistan and going, look, like everybody else, it's tragic, it's horrible, but it had to be done. We had to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure what we don't know yet, and that's what I keep reminding myself is we don't know. We do know that the troops were outnumbered, and we had to get them the heck out of there quickly. And it was set up in a way. I don't like playing the blame game, but Trump set it up in a way for it was meant to fail and did things after his presidency he knew it was over to help set up this failure. You know, Russia isn't helping us either in that respect. You know, they're helping the Taliban. So I think things might be a little bit different right now, but you know, like anything else, we need to wait for the smoke to clear and go from there. Taking, you know, two images of videos that are absolutely terrible should not be everything. There's a lot of amazing things going on there. A lot of people risking their lives to get people out of there. And they're doing everything they can. And, you know, the one thing is I'm very glad that it's the Biden administration, even though there's been some fumbles. I'm thankful that it's the Biden administration, not the Trump administration, getting people out of there, because I have a feeling that the lazy people who don't care about people, a lot more people would die in this instance, if any, you know, do now. But I think that we're, you know, as things are, you know, there were mistakes made, there was bad intelligence, you know, something happened along the way, and I think we'll get to the truth eventually. But it's not the biggest scandal of all time.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, and look, and I don't blame Joe Biden for this. Like you said, there was a couple of stumbles. Maybe we could have done something a little bit differently. I don't even so much blame Trump. I blame everybody. This has been 20 years of bad policy, bad decision making, no oversight, and a media structure that didn't bother paying attention to what was right in front of them other than cheerleading and taking money from corporate America and these defense contractors who have basically bought the trough and shoved their nose in as deep as they can get in it. So for me, that's the problem. Everything, all of them. I want investigations into how we got here. I don't give a tinker's damn about what happened the other day. And the Democrats, in my view, and you can disagree, we're gonna have an investigation into the end of this debacle. Why the hell aren't we figuring out how we got into this mess and hold those people accountable?
I think that's where it leads to. You know, right now people are just throwing around barbs and tweets, and it doesn't help. One of the reasons I've been careful about tweets is I recognize the reach that I have on Twitter and elsewhere online, and I don't want to point out, hey, help save these people here. Come to donate money to this because it pinpoints people. So I've been doing a lot of work offline, and so I think people need to recognize these people are doing work constantly offline. And we're not seeing everything that's been done. And I know that the work is being done, you know, on the broad basis of everything. Again, I don't know what kind of threats they got that day. I don't know exactly what they faced. And I don't think that's going to be revealed anytime soon. but I do know they got out of there quick. And so it wasn't, I don't know if there was groups moving in, if they were just fairly outnumbered by far. I mean, there's a lot of different things to be going on. And I've criticized different things before, and I do it too quickly in regards to military action. And you always got to wait. You got to wait a little bit and not jump on it. What I really don't like is I don't like seditionists and insurrectionists who don't care about our capital being attacked, and then they act like they care about the Afghanistan or people in Afghanistan or people that worked with us in Afghanistan, but they don't want them to come here. You know what I mean? Then they bring out their racist tendencies and all the hate and negativity. So they go back and forth and they just want to scream and yell. And I just don't know who they're screaming and yelling for or at. Because every American that I've spoken with is happy that we're getting out of there. They aren't really happy about how it goes about, but none of this was going to be pretty. None of it was going to be smooth. And it definitely wasn't going to be perfect because, again, it's a military action. So getting out of a place is not going to be clean. And keep in mind, there's other countries that want to have videos playing constantly that make us look terrible. And there are people saving lives. There's still Americans there that are saving lives right now. And we need to watch out for them. We need to not paint them as enemies because they need our support right now. And so if you are criticizing them out there for no reason and you're not offering any ideas, then you need to sit down and be quiet because this is not the time for that. It's going to be people's lives in danger.
Yeah, I mean, you know, of all of this, and again, you know, Lauren Boebert seems to rise to the top of the septic pond when you know these things happen. You know, today, 1776, on her January 6th tweet, this latest tweet of the Taliban is building back better. I find that, you know, quite disgraceful.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a traitor would say. That's what a Taliban supporter would say. I believe she's both at this point because it's the only thing I could, you know, derive from everything she said. Obviously, as you had mentioned, federal officials have already investigated her and they're questioning her about use of personal use of funds, campaign funds. And then also, it just came out that during the campaign, Boebert didn't disclose her husband's income from an energy firm. And I believe that it was almost $500,000. So it's a total of $478,000 last year. And so you have this, when you see someone that's, you know, stinks of corruption, you're going to find it. They're going to get caught if you're a public official. You're not going to get away with it. And I think, you know, all these stories starting to come out, you know, she's criticizing everything in Afghanistan, but didn't she vote against visas for Afghans who helped us over there? You know, she was one of the 16 Republicans, no Democrats voted against that. You know, where were they when they were trying to help them? Like, we've been trying to get people out for years. And so it sucks when you have people that are corrupt trying to make us look terrible and trying to criticize us just so that, you know, I say every day, I'm like, I wonder what Republicans are going to be absolutely furious about tomorrow because they haven't decided yet.
Because that's how they raise their money, Scott. They need that rage machine. They need people angry. They need grievance. They need people who are just, you know, ready to foam at the mouth and, of course, dig into their wallet and send money because that's what they do. That's what they're good at. They're not good at governing. They're good at this kind of rage, this kind of rage reality TV nonsense. We should get them out of Congress and out of political office. But it's getting worse, Scott. I mean, I'm sure you've paid attention to these school board meetings across the country where these zombie Karens, you know, the illegitimate spawn of the Tea Party has now found the local school board meeting. And they're screaming and carrying on over their kids' masks. All of a sudden, people who couldn't do fifth grade math, they're now epidemiologists. They've now figured out virology. I mean, it's crazy. But this seems to me to be all part of a game plan to destabilize us, to keep us constantly in a rage mode and constantly in turmoil. Not good for a country, Scott.
No, we're investigating the groups that are behind this because you can see that they have printed signs. You can see that they're organized. You can see that they have team leaders when they're out there. you know, obviously it's probably branches of the Republican Party that are out there. I know that there's other right wing kind of religious groups that have come out to those things. Luckily, we have people like Justin Canoe, who came out and spoke in Tennessee, just being like, you know, my daughter, who's a child, she understands why she needs to wear a mask because it helps other people. And it didn't take any other questions or any, like, it was just so simple for her. So if she can understand, I'm not sure why other people can't understand that they're acting like the children, and the children are the ones who understand. I mean, I was with an 11-year-old today, talking to him, and you know, he was like, no, I don't mind wearing the mask or whatever. I just, you know, I'd like to be around my friends and stuff, but I don't want to make anyone sick.
Yep.
And it's just like, there's humanity that's in this, and then there's people who are inhumane jerks that just want to get that money in so that they can run for higher office or give money to elect more QAnon crazies. There's no end to this. You're right. I think the we have to look back at like how we got here, and one of those reasons is the feed that would be Fox News that led to, you know, OAN and the rise of Newsmax and other outlets, and now even more dangerously so, right wing online punditry that is not monitored, that is not filtered really extensively. There are some groups that kind of, you know, analyze those videos, but they have these fake news networks. And, you know, like Steve Bannon is on a channel now that's online. And so you have these online channels are going to be our new place that we're going to have to, our internet battle per se. But we've luckily been winning a lot of different battles in this online war now. For example, they took down a dozen, 36 total accounts, but the 12 accounts the White House had pointed out that represented a lot of the COVID misinformation were all removed from Facebook. But like, why did it take them so long to remove posts about how the vaccine is ineffective and how chips can be injected? You see what I'm saying? Like, don't type that, Carol, because I don't want to get in trouble on Twitter. But like, it definitely, it's just, it's tragic. And I think that I don't know what it takes for people to recognize. Maybe it's the mortuary trucks that are being, you know, driven into Texas right now. Death is usually the ultimate catalyst in regards to people recognizing, oh my God, like that person drank the juice and that person's dead. I don't want to do that. Like, and some of them already are too far gone. But like, I think we're at a tipping point where it's just, you know, they can't lie to themselves anymore because it's right in front of their faces.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, today Bloomberg reporter Steve Dennis pointed out that today the number of deaths topped 1,000 today. And, you know, we're, you know, again, the people who have done models, and, you know, I have a listener who sends me stuff all the time because he's been spot on. He's saying that it's only going to get worse from here. Hold on, because we're at the beginning of it. And not all of us are going to get the Regeneron, and not all of us are going to get the monoclonal antibody like Governor Abbott, who, interestingly enough, he got COVID. He had a vaccine. And just in case, they give him this monoclonal antibody, just in case. Well, you know, he was at an event with a whole bunch of old people at a Republican event. How many of those people got just in case? How many people did he infect there? And, you know, at some point I go, I don't actually care. And I know it's bad for my soul to not.
No, it may drain your soul if you do too much. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to take self-care. I think that a lot of people may recognize, oh, well, we're vaccinated. I mean, this can get much worse. It can get worse than ever before. And I think people need to recognize that, you know, if this thing mutates again, this could mutate in a way that, from epidemiologists I've spoken with, this can mutate in a way that can be very lethal to people. This can, especially children. So we need to be really careful about what we do. If we don't squash this, it will manipulate itself. Not only that, but we're going to enter what, flu season pretty soon. And then imagine all the hospitals being full and people with heart attacks, stabbings, and heart, you know, shootings and anything else that's an emergency of nature, they're filling up the hospital beds. So it's not just as simple as, oh, some people are going to get COVID, because there's going to be other types of COVID that they already are being found across the world, but they're going to spread like a wildfire, and we won't be prepared for it. And so, you know, some people are going to be too far gone at that point, because we'll be four shots in or three shots in at that point. And then other people will have to play catch up. But, you know, I'm not sure if it would be at that point right. But we still have children who are unvaccinated, millions of children who are unvaccinated in this country. And if you care about children, you have to get vaccinated. If you hate children and you want them to get sick and die, then you don't get vaccinated. It's very simple. There's right and wrong here, Rick. And so there is a information, there's an information diet of, like, there's only so much you can take. Of the negative news of these people who are just willing to walk off a cliff. It's suicidal, and it really is a mentally deranged. Like, you have to look at it as, these are people who are very, very sick already in the head. Yeah. And you know, they've been infected by the Fox virus.
And that's an excellent point. But here's the thing, and this is where I kind of want to go with this, because, you know, while we focus on the insane, while we focus on these crazy people who you know, as I said, the illegitimate spawn of the Tea Party, these zombie Karens who show up to these school board meetings, and all these people who are just rabid all the time. There are people out there trying to do the right thing. There are the people in our hospitals who are taking care of these people with and being mocked for it by the people that they're actually taking care of. I'd like that we spend time talking about the good things, so that maybe it does cleanse the soul a little bit to go, you know what? It's not all bad.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, don't harass medical people in the medical profession right now. Don't stand in their way. Don't try to block entrances at hospitals. But I mean, like, I have people that have been on the front lines every single day, you know, 16, 18 hour days. One of my friends was pregnant at the beginning of COVID, and now she's had her baby, and she's got another kid as well. And she works at NYU, and it's crazy to me that doctors like her are able to press on and just move forward. I mean, nurses saved my life, and I know some nurses that just are still, like, given everything that's going on right now, given the negligence by the politicians, given the negligence by immature adults that are infected with this kind of Fox virus, they still believe in humanity, and they believe in saving you. And guess what? They don't ask when they have you on a gurney or when you're sitting in the hospital bed. They don't ask, have you been watching Fox News? Have you been doing? Because they don't care about that. They just care about you as a human. And that's the thing that people don't seem to get, is they think that me, who's one of the biggest pusher of vaccines in the world, like, I understand that. But it's not some kind of game. It's not for Joe Biden. It's not for Democrats. It is for humanity. I want you to get vaccinated because I don't want you to get sick and die, whether you wear a red hat or not. And sometimes, you know, it's good to just take a break from all the news and all the garbage going on in the world, and maybe even seek out some kind of positive news in the world. Because given, even, you know, with COVID, with Afghanistan, with whatever, there are positive news stories that you can see. And you got to have that hope. You got to have that light. You can't just have the negativity. And that, I mean, I'm one of the purveyors of the negativity, because I got to present the truth. But I hope that we can change that and at least mix it up. But yeah, you can't just focus on the negative. There are some beautiful things going on. There are people saving lives that should not be able to work at this point, because they've been so taxed and so beaten at this point. You know, it's amazing to see what some human beings can do. It's proof that some heroes, you know, they wear lab coats, some heroes, they wear scrubs. instead of capes. And so I'm inspired by that. And that helps me keep going because I don't work in a hospital, you know? And so if you don't work in a hospital, then you're probably in a better place than those folks are at the moment.
Yeah, as you were talking, I remember a doctor that I had here on the program a while ago, Jewish doctor, African-American nurse, and an Asian anesthesiologist. And it sounds like a bad racist joke, but they were, he wrote a long tweet on a guy came in his 50s with Nazi tattoos and, swastikas all over, tattooed all over his body, begging them to help him. And they did. And, that to me is, I told the guy, I said, I don't know how you did it. I don't know that I would hope I would, but I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Kremlin Annex, which is the thing that we set up, Adam Parkomenko and others set up outside the White House to after the treason summit, the protests every night. And there was a time where a dude wearing a red hat fell on the ground, and I naturally went down and I was like, oh, dude, and I helped him up. And I'm like, I'm not the best friend of all anyone who wears a red hat by far, but we're human beings. And I think this is not a game. This is real life. People are dying. People are going to die. More people are going to die. The only answer is vaccination. There is no other answer. And if you're not taking part, then you're taking part in the murder. That's what you're doing. You're killing people. And I think that's what stinks about it, is it's so serious. It's life or death. It's right or wrong. It's not opinionated. You can't say, I have this opinion about masks. No, you wear masks. That's the answer. There is no other answer. And anyone who differs from that should not have a platform anywhere in the world, ever. And anyway, same thing with vaccine disinformation. There's a time for you to question, oh, I'm not sure about this vaccine or this is not the time for that. Anyone who talks about doubting the vaccine or its efficacy should be banned from all social media, at least for now, if not forever. I believe forever. And this is the problem that we have. People need to be made examples of in regards to, there need to be consequences in regards to legal action and otherwise. I do know that there's a lot of families that have lost loved ones who directly attribute Fox News for their deaths of COVID. And, one of them is a friend, Kristen Urquiza, who runs Marked by COVID. Her dad died of COVID. And, he was like, I'll be fine. I'm going to, I was watching Trump. I was watching Fox News. I saw this stuff. We're going to be fine. I trust our president. This was repetitive. He was a great guy, a great human being. She had mentioned that he would go. He's the guy that you call if you need something moved. And he doesn't even know you. He goes and he shows up. He gets other people to show up. He was that kind of guy. And he died of it. And so I know that there's going to be people who face legal consequences and financial consequences, especially at Fox News in lawsuits and other ways. But this is not a right, like two opinions. This is right and wrong. This is good versus evil. And we need to recognize that. And we definitely, I think you're right about this, is we need to maybe spotlight these positive things so that we can counteract it, because maybe some of these folks don't have any hope because all they see is turmoil. All they're presented with is this negative stuff. And I bet some of them are starving for something positive, truly positive, that just is universally positive. And so sharing stories like that, when possible, might be a good idea for all of us.
Yeah, because we need it. I mean, at some point, there's got to be something that unites people. I used to believe there were things that were universally decent, like helping someone up, regardless of what hat they were wearing. But we're just in this time where every issue is polarized. And I keep coming back to this same frame. Every issue is polarized, and the people at the top keep making money. So as we're fighting each other, as we're on each side of this divide, and we're at each other's throats, the 1% keep robbing us blind and filling their coffers at the expense of us by not getting health care and education and this infrastructure bill that we desperately need. You know, all this stuff.
Yeah, and you know, there's champions like Peter Morley, who's pushed Healthcare Awareness Month, and I know Chairwoman Maloney has now presented a bill that will make August Healthcare Awareness Month. And so it's great advocates like that who are fighting for people and saving lives and keeping as positive as they possibly can. Peter Morley is one of the most positive human beings I've ever met.
Yep.
He's one of my best friends, a great human being, a hero and a champion. And so Healthcare Awareness Month has been something that he's championed for forever. And finally, they're passing something. And so there are examples of bright lights. And I try to feed off of these folks, especially when I have to go into the dark, when I have to go and investigate different people. Like, do you think that I wanted to sit there and watch hundreds of hours of Marjorie Taylor Greene, all of her videos that she's ever posted, every interview she's ever had of any kind? I didn't, but I also wanted to make sure that she was exposed for the fraud that she was and the traitor that she is. And so I think it really is important for us to though have those friendships and make sure that we lift people up who deserve to be lifted up instead of just fighting folks. And now I know, as a person who got angry this morning and tweets out ban Marge a couple of times and then it trends number two in the country, like there are some things, there are some fights that we need to have peaceful fights in regards to online, that we need to confront people head on. But then there are times where we can lift champions and heroes up that are saving lives, like Peter Morley, like my doctor friend who is at NYU, like Dr. Ding, like Dr. Joseph Sacharin, like Dr. Rob Davidson, people who are on the front lines every single day fighting for people. And they're not choosing sides in regards to who, you know, who is what. You have Dr. Sacharin, who's been shot before, a gunshot victim, and he works at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And he saves lives of people that of every ethnicity, every, like, it doesn't matter to him. A human being is a human being, and he's going to help them no matter who they are. And like, how can you not stop and think that is true humanity? And I think we've lost it. We have lost that humanity. And that was part of the Trump virus, is he has taken that humanity away. He turned it into a wrestling match. It's all WWE. I mean, one of the commentators, a Republican on local NPR, I was debating with the other day, and they're talking about rah, 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 rah. And I just sat there, you know, impeach Biden, blah, blah, like all this other garbage just for no reason. And I'm like, you know what? What I appreciate about what you just said about impeaching and removing Biden or whatever thing that's never going to happen, what I appreciate about that is the fact that you're finally acknowledging that he is the president of the United States. So there are positive things. And he even laughed about that because it was just like, I didn't realize what I was doing there. But I think that's what we have to have. There's got to be more kind of John Stewart's and Dave Grohl's, and I'm sorry that I'm giving men, but there's got to be more Joy Reid's and Rachel Maddow's and Rick Smith's out there. And, you know, calling truth out at the same time while trying to bring a sense of entertainment and reality to people, I think is so refreshing. And that's why we need people like you and the Rick Smith Show at a constant, because we can't survive without people like you calling people out. And also bring a spotlight on people like Peter Morley and the doctors that you've spoken with, because they need a voice.
Yeah, no, I mean, Peter's a great guy. And with this being Healthcare Awareness Month, we got to get him back on here really soon. But important stuff. And I'm glad this is where we're going to end this, because, you know, it sounds like in this moment we can always be down and angry. But there is hope. There is a way forward. And I appreciate you taking time and sharing in that hope with me.
No, and I just say, please get vaccinated. It's not political. It's personal. I've had friends die of it. I've had family members die of it. I don't want you to die of it, no matter who you are.
Good stuff, Scott.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the time. Our good friend Scott Dworkin, co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, host of the fabulous Dworkin Report. Make sure you check out his podcast where podcasts are found. Gonna take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.